Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Baby, go! Nation's International Study of the Paranormal is coming to Bentonsport, Iowa, May 23rd through the 25th, with guest speakers such as Patrick Burns, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Mary Ellen Hammack, Lisa DeWallaby, Rose Pressey, and many more. The Women's International Study of the Paranormal is hosted by Donna LaCroix of Ghost Hunters International, Jackie Carpenter and Elizabeth Corey of International Paranormal Research Association, Inc., Christy Hinkle of Celestial Paranormal Research and Investigations, Marie Cipriano of Southern New England Paranormal, and Haunting Existence Radio. Go to www.wispexpo.com to register now. The Women's International Study of the Paranormal is now accepting vendors to display their items at the conference. Also, we are offering special packages for new sponsors. All inquiries should be sent to info@wispexpo.com.
Listening to Ghostly Talk.
Woo!
I'm tired.
You work. Good stuff. That, well, you know, our breaks are all independent music.
That was Six Figure Suicide, by the way, too. You missed it.
Oh, really?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors or
whatever. Oh, that is one of my favorite songs.
And the other two, there was another two
ever.
I totally forgot about it, but it's not, it'll be on the site tonight. Yeah.
That is one of my favorite songs ever.
Great tune.
Not mine.
Totally jammed.
Not
I love
but
that
mine.
Tune, man.
I adore it.
What do we got going on, Doug, here?
Well, Dr. Simeon Hein has received his PhD in sociology from Washington State University in 1992. His main areas of interest include nonlinear research methods, complexity theory, and technology in society. Dr. Hein has over 7 semesters of college teaching experience and is the director of the UFO Academy.
Oh.
He first learned remote viewing in 1996 and worked as an instructor at the Farsight Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. He's taught resonant viewing at the Institute for Resonance since 1997. His first book is Opening Minds, A Journey of Extraordinary Encounters, Crop Circles, and Resonance from Mount Baldy Press. And since the publication of Opening Minds in 2002, Simeon has given over 280 radio and TV interviews. His most recent book is Planetary Intelligence, 101 Easy Steps to Energy, Well-Being, and Natural Insight. Of course, if you go to www.mountbaldy.com, that's where the the books are available.
And it's Dr. Simeon's website,
and it's
too.
His website. Yeah. And so we would like to...
Welcome back,
welcome
by the way,
back
too. It's been a long
show.
Time also.
Welcome back, Simeon.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
It's been forever. We haven't talked to you since, like, 2003, I think.
Is that when the last time we talked? Yeah.
Well, yeah. We talked a couple days ago, I know, and I'm like, yeah, I think I led off with that. I'm like, yeah, Simeon, I don't think you may not remember us. It was a long time ago the last time we talked. And we actually had a really cool conversation. I don't know if we're going to focus on that today, but way back in the archives, guys, you can download it. Just look it up. We had a really cool conversation on crop circles.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned so much that night, Simeon. I have to thank you for that again.
Oh, so yeah, no problem.
It was, the one thing I learned, and maybe I'm just an idiot, well, it was a long time ago, but I'm still an idiot, but it was still a long time ago. It was that, I thought crop circles were made by, supposedly just straight up made by UFOs. That's all I thought they were made by, right? That's what had me so creeped out by them. But Simeon came on the show, and we talked this over, and he's like, no, people do this stuff. They make these things. People are out there making this stuff happen, right, Simeon?
No, that's absolutely right. You know, we've actually made a whole bunch since the last time we talked, and we've been getting more and more of the strange phenomena, right in our crop circles that we make, the man-made ones too. So they're all real. I mean, the ones that are made by UFOs are real, and the ones that are made by people are real. We just don't understand exactly how they get their energy, but I mean, its energy is strong enough, and we've had it happen again, to blow out your batteries, your cameras, your laptops, all sorts of stuff like that. So it's just really amazing that you could go out and make a shape in wheat, and then it actually is electrically active.
How? I mean, if we can totally if we can lead off, I don't know if that was exactly our plan, Simeon, but I'm interested in this.
Oh,
that's
resonance.
Cool. Yeah, resonance. Okay.
It has to do with resonance. You know, we're at the verge of some very big scientific discoveries about resonance, and what makes it really exciting is I don't think that these discoveries are just going to be confined to the realm of the ivory tower and industrialized scientific research, you know? I mean, this is something that the average person will be able to engage in once we get a little farther along in exactly how this works. But basically, if we can change our resonance, you know, shift frequencies with shapes, crop circles, or remote viewing, or anything that works for you, even music can do it too.
Okay.
You can actually experience different realities that are really like another channel over on the dial. And everything you and I experience during the day, you know, in this reality we're in right now where we're talking, that's just one channel of a lot of different channels. Or if you could think of it, just one room in the house, you know, and we spend our whole lives in that room and we think that's the only room in the whole house, you know, but there's other rooms there, there's other channels, and it'd be kind of exciting if we could actually, you know, shift the frequencies now at will and then shift back if we wanted, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and we can do it. I think the crop circles are just a little glimmer of that, because the weirdness that surrounds them, and you can feel it when you're in them. There's something going on there. And then your cameras take pictures of it, too. I mean, if you don't believe the people are just, you know, subjective feelings, your feelings about it. I mean, the effects equipment, too. So something's going on there, but it's not ordinary. It's not ordinary electricity or energy. Something really, really subtle but really powerful. Subtle and powerful at the same time. That's what we're talking about.
Well, you mentioned that last time, like back at like 1,300 years ago when you were on the show. It was like with these crop circles when they're created, even by people that, you know, once you do this thing, there is this feeling that the people get who do that, you know, who are putting these things together. And, you know, and I guess this is explaining, I mean, this is the second part of this now, it sounds like, Simeon, is that it's resonance. It's this thing, resonance. And I think we're going to dive into this a little bit, because this may explain a lot of things.
Well, I'm familiar with, you know, for example, in more traditional, more traditional mythology,
yeah,
or
yeah,
common knowledge or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But they say that crystals can enhance your energy,
yeah,
field and things like that, mm-hmm, or your psychic vision and all that kind of thing. They say that if you get those stones put on your, you know, on your body, and I actually had that done once, where they put stones on your body and then it's supposed to realign your
chakras,
yeah, and your,
yeah,
energy levels and things like that. What I'm wondering is that true? I mean, is there something to with the resonance thing? It's what they talk about. They talk about frequencies and vibrations,
yeah,
and things like that. Is that can putting stones on your body help realign your chakras? And then, is there a kernel of truth in that?
Yeah, there is, and it can be measured. I mean, we're talking about a couple different things here, but it's basically, yeah, that subtle type of energy shift that you're talking about, you can feel when the stones are put in your body. You know, I don't know if we have the type of technology that can measure that directly, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a tricorder from Star Trek. Remember, they could measure
right,
these energy fields and see that the aliens are out there 100 yards ahead,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Just from an energy signature, that's kind of like a quantum technology or something. But there are ways to measure this, and the answer is yes. You can measure that. It has to be done indirectly. Dr. William Tiller has measured subtle energy. He measures the effect of meditation, okay?
Okay.
And if you can see that meditating on, you know, one object and having a control object there that wasn't meditated upon, and then you put those objects in different locations and you see that they affect things differently after the meditation was done for maybe 5 days, by experienced meditators on one of the objects. The object that was meditated upon can affect the water temperature, it can affect fruit fly reproduction and all things like that. Very sensitive systems, but you can see that there's a difference. And that shows basically that human thought, any sort of thought perhaps, has an effect on material reality. And if that's true, then materials like rocks and crystals and stones and things like that,
mm-hmm,
if you're concentrating on them, you're getting into a meditative state, a relaxed state. Relaxed states are very powerful, by the way,
mm-hmm,
in the context of a medical treatment or a massage or something. I think that has an effect, too. Now, it's not easy to measure with the equipment we've got, because the equipment we have doesn't really, it's not very sensitive. But I think we'll find in the long run, yeah, it does have an effect, and it's a real effect. Yes, it's a real effect.
I wish I could experience a relaxed state. I wish I could experience something like that.
I'll bring the table over.
It must be so nice to experience. I mean, you say it's a very powerful thing also, Simeon, that the relaxed state really is powerful. How, I mean, I need to, just for my own food for thought, right? How would this affect you? What does this do as far as a relaxed state? For example, what effects does this have as far as, let's just say your physicality is concerned. I mean, what does it do? Does it change you? I don't even know how to ask this question. I'm totally screwing it up. Doug, help me out here.
Well, I think you're asking, like, what's it like?
What's it like to be relaxed?
I've already can meditate, and I do sometimes. And it's really sometimes. And I was very relaxed last night, for example. You saw that. But yes,
Simeon, Doug was relaxing a lot last night with a bottle of wine.
Yes, I had a relaxing bottle of wine.
Does that count, Simeon?
No, that doesn't count.
Does alcohol count, Simeon? No, don't work? Okay.
No. You have to do it. You have to meditate. You have to be healthy first, not poisoning your body.
Do you want me to explain why?
No. Yeah. Please. Yes.
It's not just the relaxation in and of itself. It's what the relaxation allows you to do. And what we know from all the research is that our monkey minds, you know, our left brains, our analytical, logical minds, whatever you want to call it, the thinking mind, right? The linear thinking mind that we're all used to, the one that talks, like we're talking right now, that actually interferes with the subconscious processes. And the subconscious that we all have within us cannot reach its full potential if it's being interfered with. And so that relaxed state actually allows the subconscious to do more of what it really wants to do, which is to run your life for you. And it can do things that your thinking mind can't do. It can make better decisions. It can see farther into the future. It can perceive more of your environment.
Okay.
And so there's a very interesting book that confirms this called Hare Brain Tortoise Mind, how intelligence increases when you think less. And the basic premise of the book is exactly what we're saying here, is that you actually think better when you stop thinking.
Really?
Yes, because they've proved this with measuring the happiness of people's buying decisions when they're buying complex things like houses and cars.
Mm-hmm.
People are actually happier the less they think about the decision.
Well,
I was with a friend the other day, and she wanted me to help her buy a car, and she said, well, Simi, we have to compare this. And I said, don't do it. Stop thinking. Which one do you like? That's your body knows which car is better for you. That it's not that complicated. I mean, it doesn't have to be esoteric. It can extend into remote viewing and all these paranormal things we're talking about, but at a basic level, your subconscious does a better job when you don't think about things so much.
My God, that is so interesting, Simeon. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I know.
But I have to comment on this because let's not even talk about purchase of homes or cars. I get myself wound up like a top over gas prices around town. We're talking about pennies on the dollar here, Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you lived in Detroit, you'd understand why I'd be so uptight, maybe. But, I mean, I literally will drive around town. I have my iGoogle thing set up with all these different gas prices, and I'm trying to, like, predict the future with my iGoogle thing, right, trying to figure out gas prices. I'm losing my mind over this, and we're talking about pennies. Pennies! We're not talking about a house. Okay?
Well, Scott.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop doing that.
Just drive up there wherever. I don't care. I'll just fill up here. It don't matter.
Yeah, just follow your gut because it's too much information. You know, this is the downside of the internet. I love the internet. I love all the YouTube videos I can post that people all over the world can watch about the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
I do. I live on the internet, too, like all the rest of us, right?
Yeah.
But it has a downside. The downside is too much information is coming in. Sometimes it's not relevant information. It's coming in from everywhere, and we haven't evolved enough to know how to sort it out. So you know what happens? We get preoccupied with trivia and detail. And I think what you're talking about is an example of that. Penny.
It's perfect trivia. Yeah. It's perfect trivial things, and I know it is too. I'm like, Scott, my girlfriend Amber. Everybody knows Amber here, right?
Yeah.
She's like, just pull over for God's sakes and fill up before we get stuck on the side of the road. Just don't worry about a couple of pennies. But I'm like, no, I want to save the money. I need to save the money, right? And what you're saying is I shouldn't be worrying about stuff like that. I should just go with my gut.
Not really.
Okay. All right. Doug?
It's not worth the energy you're expending to do it. It's like spending dollars to count pennies. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Wow.
But your mind wants to do that because our minds are very powerful things. They like to split and analyze. And with all that data coming across, you know, your Gap Buddy page or whatever, Gas Price Watch or whatever you're using.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're comparing, you're looking, but you have to think, is it worth the cost for your subconscious mind? Your subconscious mind needs downtime to do what it does. And we've had that for millions of years until about 20 or 10 years ago with the internet.
Yeah, we just dealt, right? did it manually until about 15 right. years ago or whatever. You're right. You're totally right about
all right.
that.
And now we have, it's coming in on our PDAs and our smartphones. I mean, it's called information overload. And the downside of that is we're getting dumbed down. In fact, that's why I created the concept of planetary intelligence. I mean, that to me is the opposite of the analytical intelligence. It's kind of a holistic intelligence that works around your intuition. Mm-hmm. It's actually what allows you to cross the street and even drive. You're not thinking about that when you're driving, right? Your body knows what to do. You know, half the time you're spaking out, but your body's still driving well. That's the power of the subconscious,
yeah.
right?
No, you're
I mean,
right. I mean,
you don't need to think about it. When you cross the street, are you actually thinking this, that, this? No, you get to see them now, go, right? And well, you do it. And that's a very fast calculator. Let me tell you something. It's faster than your calculating mind, much faster. If you thought about it, this car's coming. Now, that you would never cross the road. Mm. So you can't live by thinking that much that way. And what I'm trying to suggest is if you do that too much, you actually become dumbed down in other ways, and it's not – I don't think it's worth it. So you need to have a little discipline about cutting off information sometimes. You know, you need to spend some time every day just spacing out.
Oh, I cry.
Yeah.
You know, I think I have to blame Don Corleone for this whole problem I have, Simeon, I think, because there's a line that it's in The Godfather. This is hilarious to try to cite this, but I'm going to work it in anyways, right? that there's a line, and I don't know if you've ever seen The Godfather before, Sean, but there's a shot where, you know, Marlon Brando's doing his thing with the character of Don Corleone. He's like, I refuse to be the fool, right? And ever since I've heard that since I was a kid, because it's an old film, right, I've always really kind of lived by that. Like, I refuse to be the fool in this situation. I refuse to be the fool in this situation. And I think, you know, using the gas example, Simeon, you know, I feel like, okay, look, if I drive another mile, I can save like 5 cents on the gallon, right? And I feel like if I don't do that, I feel like I'm being the fool. But I guess I'm not being the fool. I'm actually doing myself a lot more good by just saying, hey, you know what, I'm just going to blow the 5 cents on the gallon and just deal with it, right?
Well, let me just say, I think, to answer your question, the least foolish thing you can do is to be a total fool.
Wow.
And yeah. I'm not kidding.
I agree.
I am not kidding. You know what we give people in our remote viewing classes?
What's that?
We give them a fool. We give them a laminated fool.
Oh, wow.
From the tarot deck to remind them to be foolish, because you cannot do remote viewing unless you're willing to be a total fool, because you don't know what you're doing when you're remote viewing. You're just writing and drawing with no idea what you're looking at, and that you haven't seen the picture ahead of time. So you basically have to jump off the cliff and just assume that the process is going to work, because you could be totally wrong, right? And the only way to do that is not to care about the outcome, right? So
yeah.
One of the keys here to resonance, let's to bring this back to the original theme that you wanted to talk about.
Sorry, Simeon. Somehow, yeah.
No, this is good. This is good.
This is really good.
It brings it back. So engage in resonance, right? Mm. You have to be detached from the outcome, right?
Okay. Mm.
You have to do your best, but then let the universe handle the details and let it sort it out, because that universal supercomputer is a lot bigger than your brain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm trying to say? Stop trying to micromanage things so much and just let it flow a little bit. I mean, there's some wisdom to going with the flow, and it works with remote viewing. And if it works with remote viewing, it probably works with a lot of other things, too. It's just basically called self-organization.
Uh-huh.
The intelligence of the universe can self-organize things. It can create natural coherency, right?
Okay.
On its own, without you trying so hard to make it happen. I mean, you need to express the intent and you need to take the action, but you don't need to manage every little detail. You know what I mean?
So maybe I should just like totally drop my to-do list and all my spreadsheets I have for everything. Simeon, I have to say, we have, in my therapy through this show, I have reached a new plateau. Because I will say this, and you guys are going to kill me. I don't even know why I'm saying this on the air.
Ooh,
but I'm going to eat crap for this all day long. I was sitting at my desk the other day, and I'm like, you know, there's all this cool stuff that I want to do coming up, like concerts and monster truck shows. Yep, that's me. And there's all these neat things I want to do coming up. But, God, there's just so much going on, and they're all over the place, and there's all these different places I have to get tickets from. I got to organize this thing. So what did I do?
You made a spreadsheet.
I made a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Called Ray, Stuff That I Want to Do. That's the name of the spreadsheet.
Wow.
Now, if that isn't the the Eiffel Tower of micromanaging. I don't know what it is.
You have just organized your free time.
I have just organized my free time.
Yes, you did.
So I have officially lost my mind, Simeon. Do you agree, sir?
Well, I think you need to lose your mind even more, actually.
You're right. You're right.
Because if you like to make spreadsheets and organize your time, there is nothing wrong with it. But what I would do afterwards is print it out and burn it or delete it, because it's a good start. But, you know, Scott, there may be something even bigger that you haven't considered. And how are you even going to know what's going to happen? I mean, that's what life's about. We don't know what's going to happen. How can you plan that out ahead of time? And the type of experiences that we're talking about here, like cross circles, remote viewing, and ghosts, you know, I just got back from the conference yesterday up in Estes Park.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, is when those kind of experiences happen, you never know when they're going to happen. You can't plan them ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the spreadsheet approach fails. Because there's always the unexpected, and if we didn't have the unexpected in our lives, it wouldn't be worth anything, you know?
You're right. You're totally right.
You need to have that, and you need to let it go. And so that detachment is really important if you want to experience the unknown. And if you don't attempt to experience the unknown, you know, you're not going to experience this type of resonance. This is not the area that our egos are normally comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Our egos want to micromanage and control everything. But if we want to experience the unknown, this new realm of resonance, where all these kind of cool things are happening, you have to kind of go into a space where you're not totally in control, and it feels a little scary. But that fear is also the flip side of excitement, if you know what I mean. Because
you don't
know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's scary doing remote viewing, and you're just sitting there with a pencil and a paper, and it's the scariest thing you can imagine because you don't know what you're doing. You're just drawing, and at the end we show you what your target was, and you go, that's amazing. How did I do that?
Hey, how did I do that? And you know what? Just we've both done it, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
We've both done several remote viewing projects, actually, through this show. And I've got the same charge out of that, too, Simeon, where we actually saw, at the end of the day, we saw the target ID or the target.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm drinking too much water here. And we saw that and go, wow, we actually nailed it. We got some of it, not all. We got pretty close, though. So, all right, well, I'm sorry we turned this into a therapy session for me. I really apologize.
No, it's important.
I think when we come, we're going to take a break here, okay, Simeon? When we come back, I think I'm going to shut my hole and let Doug dig in here a little bit.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. Cause you're
no, saying, no, it's
no,
okay.
I think you bit down that one finger than enough, didn't you?
Yeah, it's pretty well gone.
Simeon, hang on the line. Don't leave us, man. Hang tight. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Here's a story from the Saskatoon Star Phoenix. Forget Nicolas Cage. The town of Elmore, Ohio has its own ghost rider to contend with, and he's expected to arrive on March 21st. The apparition is supposed to be the ghost of a World War soldier who crashed his motorcycle on March 21st, 1919. Residents say the ghost returns each year as a ball of light on the anniversary of his death. In a 1968 investigation, Richard Gill, a student at Bowling Green University, apparently aroused the ghost who passed through a string tied across the road without breaking it. Gil then asked a pal to stand in the middle of the road as the Ghost Rider passed. Wrong move, my friend. The Ghost Rider passed, and Gil's friend passed out, apparently run over by the spirit. SpaceDaily.com reports on solar science. Imagine living on a planet where northern lights fill the heavens at all hours of the day. Around the clock, even in broad daylight, luminous curtains shimmer and ripple across the sky, mesmerizing anyone who bothers to look. Newsflash! Astronomers have discovered such a planet. Its name? Earth! Our own planet has auroras 24 hours a day, says Jim Spann of the Marshall Space Flight Center, and we can see them even in broad daylight. The trick, he explains, is picking up the right wavelength. If we look at Earth from space using an ultraviolet filter, we see there are auroras underway at all times. It's a beautiful sight, he says. For more information about this article, please go to www.sdparanormal.com, go to the Paranormal News feed page, and look for Solar Science. Ocala.com reports a downtown comedy club owner says his club is haunted. You would expect a ghost to hang out in a club dedicated to scaring customers, but not to making them laugh. But that's what Joke Boys Comedy Club in downtown Ocala has on its hands, according to a paranormal specialist. Here's an interview with the current owner.
Well, Linus has made big noises down there. Well, sometimes we come in and the lights will just be on for absolutely no reason. And everyone swears they turn them off before the night before. So then they come in, the weird lights are on, chairs supposedly have been moved. It's just things that you go, well, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. So people are just kind of arguing between each other. So we had someone come out that actually is a renowned talker of ghosts, mediator, I don't know what they call him. And he was in town for a seminar, and people we knew brought him over here. And he came in here and was up here talking to a man named Linus that I guess used to work when it might have been Biddings. Is that the name of the pharmacy? Anyway, they had like a little soda bar where kids used to line up. He had a little apron on, I guess, and he talked to him and said he doesn't care so much about the comedy because it's too loud here, but he wants to have kids back. And he turns the lights on, because that's what he does to scare off burglars. That's how he prevents robberies. That's how he did it in his day. But anyway, our bartenders and our wait staff say that there's occasions where they feel like there's someone that's right near them somewhere at some point, and they look around and there's nobody there. Or they feel something brush against their leg, but there's nothing there. And there was one sequence, I guess we had an open mic night, and it could have been because that was kind of ghouly in itself. But they were sitting there, and they felt the presence of someone, and they both looked back at the same time and didn't see anybody, and then looked at each other and got a little freaked out. We wish he would pay rent. That would help out a whole lot. We asked him if he could just turn the lights off because it would kind of help us with our electric bill, and he doesn't seem dissatisfied, so he's not hurting anybody. We thought we'd keep him around just for a little bit longer.
For those of you who are not already aware, the G4 Summit has been canceled. The Ghost Hunting Summit that was expected to attract more than 500 paranormal investigators to Gettysburg in June has indeed been canceled. The Gettysburg National Military Park's policy against organized paranormal investigations on the battlefield is the main reason for the cancellation, says the organizer, Carrie Ebley Keller. Special shout out goes to actor Patrick Swayze. It was announced recently that the famed star of my favorite movie, Ghost, is battling pancreatic cancer. Please send your thoughts and prayers out to him for a speedy recovery. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you're welcome to join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
Arrgh! Hey, it's Wolfman Mac from Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you got to do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye!
Nightmare Cinema.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality. And reality is less than television.
Doug's taking over the board, actually. Yeah, he's.
I am in the driver's seat right now,
and
as we speak.
Yeah, if you guys thought I was micromanaging you before, oh my God, look out now.
Scott just lost control.
He's pointed at the board like 7 times.
And I'm like, don't touch.
We're talking to the illustrious Dr. Simeon Hine right now, and the last half hour got pretty interesting, for me at least.
Yes, and don't forget the website.
Yeah, the website.
www.mountbaldy.com, MountBaldy.com.
Yeah, yeah. And last half an hour we kind of talked about how maybe to get yourself to experience this resonance we're talking about, right, Simeon?
Right. You have to relax and let your subconscious take over.
Okay, Doug, you're taking a hot seat. You are all over it. I'm shutting my hole. I've been ranting for the last hour. I'm done.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I tend to live pretty much the way that you're describing. And because, you know, as Scott is all into his spreadsheets and things like that, and planning and micromanaging, I'm into the, you know, I guess I probably would have made a fairly good hippie. Right? I was like, whatever, life is happening around me. And I just, you know, I pretty much try not to manage anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the next step then? Is that one of these 101 easy steps for energy, well-being, and natural insight? I mean, what's the, once you already can do that, if you can sit there and think about nothing for minutes or half an hour or whatever, and what then, where does the clarity come from? Where does the next thing come from?
Well, there is no substitute, actually, for some focused intent. Next step is some focused intent. So you've got the relaxed state, right?
Yeah.
And you feel you're in tune with yourself, maybe in tune with your environment to the most extent that you could be. The next step is to have a very focused intent that is important to you, that excites you in some way. Could be anything.
All right.
And those two things go hand in hand. So I'm not saying become like a wet noodle or, you know, like an earthworm or something like that with no structure. Or very little structure, you know. It doesn't mean being a blob of fuzzy goo. It just means that they go together. On one side is the expansiveness of the subconscious and the resonance, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And on the other side, since we do have these thinking brains, you know, these brains that create ideas, is to create some ideas and have a lot of focused intent and work on as much of those as you want, something that is exciting to you, something that really makes you feel good. And then there's the other times when you have to completely let it go and let it evolve. And when those things two go hand in hand, you have the yin and the yang.
All right.
And that's a very powerful combination. So you need both. You need the prickles and you need the goo, okay? And what you're saying is you're a very good hippie, which means you've got the gooey side down really
yes,
well.
Yes, I do. Yes,
you
I
need
do.
To work on the prickly side. On the other hand, Scott is really good at the prickles. He needs to work on the gooey side.
Oh,
and when you've got that, then you've got prickly goo or gooey prickles, and that's what you want.
Hence ghostly talk.
Hence ghostly talk. That's how we do this show.
That's when the weirdness begins to happen, guys. That's when the strange things begin. That's what you want. Because you begin to evolve and go beyond what you thought was possible. You go beyond what you thought you were capable of doing, and you create things that go beyond what you think you could do. And that's when you're really engaging the energy of the universe, you know, that really infinite potential that you hear people talking about. I mean, you can do it, but it takes some balancing, you know, it takes a little tuning.
Okay, maybe they should just like kind of morph us like they did in The Fly, you know?
Right.
Like the Fly, the new Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum was in that.
Maybe they should just morph us together and they'd be like the
we
super
would be,
human.
Yeah.
Does it make sense what I said? I mean,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah. We would be masters of the universe.
We'd be we would rule the world.
That's
the
idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think
you'd be Pinky in the Brain.
Pretty much.
What are you doing now, Brain? Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try and think over the. Oh, God, I love that show. Now, I think what that really comes down to, also though, Simeon, is just balance in your life. You know, you don't want to have too much of one of the gooeys or too much of the pricklies. I guess you want you kind of want to have a nice healthy mix of the two. And that way you can achieve these experiences that we've been trying to achieve for a very long time here.
Well,
you're too soft, I'm too hard.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what they all say too, by the way.
Yes, they do. The title of your book has energy, well-being, and natural insight. Now, I'm pretty convinced about the well-being part, right?
Mm-hmm.
But energy and natural insight, how does that fit in?
Well, that really has to do with our intuition. And our intuition, as I was saying before, only really works really well when you're in a relaxed, calm state.
Okay.
I'm talking about remote viewing, you know, the ability to perceive at a distance. You can't do that when your mind is like a choppy ocean. The ocean, the water reflects the moonlight when it's really calm, right? Mm-hmm. But if the water is really choppy, you don't see any reflection. That's what you're using your awareness for, is just to see a reflection of the signals that are coming in that are below the level of your consciousness. But you want to get a reflection back out from them to get a sense of what's going on with whatever you're looking at. So hand in hand, you know, with the sense of well-being is kind of natural intuition. And when you're is working really well, you make better quality decisions and you avoid more, you know, negative situations and kind of get yourself into more expansive positive situations. And then your intuition is really working better. And when that happens, the energy in your life really starts to pick up and really flow because you're in situations and settings that are challenging you and more productive and kind of engaging you. So they kind of all work. And I guess what I'm suggesting is these things happen naturally if you just kind of be more of who you are anyway. It's not anymore. It's actually doing less of the things that interfere with our natural state, which is a left brain kind of linear, analytical sort of modes of being that we've all become accustomed to because that's what our economy kind of demands of us. I'm just saying that we need a little more balance if we want to be complete. And, you know, I got to tell you guys, there was an article in Wired magazine about 2 years ago that said the same thing. It was called Revenge of the Right Brain.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And yeah, they were saying we need to train people to exactly what we're talking about here, right brain sort of functioning, because it engages creativity and that can't be outsourced as easily as left brain activities like accounting and legal, you know, assistance and, tech support. Those are left brain activities, right? You know, it's a very program. But creativity, like, you know, writing and music and movies and that sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
that you can't outsource. So that's a right brain and that's what we're good at here. So they were saying, you know, to keep our economy healthy, we need to train people to be right-brained again, which is to be a little less structured, a little more intuitive,
mm-hmm.
and not to look down on those classes we used to take. You remember art and shop in high school? Those were considered, like, lesser.
Well, yeah, than, they were considered electives.
Well, they're not. They're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing, I find this, too. I mean, again, you know, when we're working in our professional lives, I know I listen to music all day long. It helps me think. It helps me keep my, get my zone where I need to be at, where I can be, you know, where I can have a healthy mix of the two, where we do have the rigid structures we have to work in to make things happen, to do business. But at the same time, there is some creativity that comes into that, where we do have to think, right, about things. We have to think. And music always helps me. It's always helped me kind of get my zone. My mom used to always yell at me back in the day, studying for school. I'm sure you heard this too, Doug.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Don't listen to music. You can't concentrate. Well, no, Mom, you're wrong. It helps me concentrate. You know, it helps me kind of get my zone to get in there and really start to move on stuff. So, yeah, I can totally see where that would come from, where, the right brain needs to start getting in the mix here a little bit more as opposed to the left brain.
And this goes hand in hand with all the paranormal stuff that I know you enjoy and that I study, too. It's just the same thing. It's just a different aspect of it.
Speaking of...
same sort of thing.
Yeah, speaking of which, we only have a couple more minutes left with you, but the I wanted to ask about this this event you had gone.
Yeah, what is it? What's
you went up to Estes Park, right? And
right, it was the Darkness Radio.
Yes.
Conference. The guys from Ghost Hunters were there from the Sci-Fi Channel, you know, Taps.
Yeah. Jane Grant, we know him.
Yeah, they were there, and they do these conferences all over. They do it at the Stanley Hotel, which is, you know, it's apparently haunted up there, you know, and that's where, you know, The Shining was filmed. Remember that one? And it does have a weird ambience up there, I got to tell you. It's an old kind of, you know, it's a little weird, but it's kind of neat. And they wanted me to talk about crop circles and how crystals could actually create these weird effects we see, because that could have something to do with why the Stanley is haunted, you know, it's over magnetite and stuff like that. So.
Right. And what did you think of the attendees, the people who attended the event? Did they all were interested?
It was interesting. They were interested, and it was a crossover to see that they go out there with machines, you know, to measure what's going on in spooky places. And we go out in crop circles with these machines, hoping we can measure something out there that will indicate what's going on. So there was a kind of interesting parallel there, and that someone who was organizing kind of saw it.
Good.
He saw, you know, one of my YouTube videos and said, wow, this guy's kind of doing what we're kind of doing. Mm-hmm. He should talk with him. It actually worked out. It worked out.
Excellent. Well, tell Dave and Jason and Grant we said hello. Tell them we said hi from over here in our neck of the woods. They're all good guys out there, and we know all those guys. They're all really cool.
And they're putting on some really, really interesting events.
Yeah, really.
This year. I mean, it's gone.
Impressive.
It's really taken off, and uh-huh. I have more it's power big. To them.
Well,
it's really big. It's really big.
So your website, your books, I want to go over those.
Yeah, we've got a couple of seconds.
Only like a few moments left with you.
Yeah.
We have, of course, your first book from a couple years ago from 5 years ago now, isn't it? Or 6 years ago was Opening Minds, A Journey of Extraordinary Encounters, Crop Circles, and Resonance. And then, now the new one, Planetary Intelligence, 101 Easy Steps to Energy, Well-Being, and Natural Insight. What's next for you?
Well, you know, I'm just doing a lot of talking and explaining about what these concepts are. It's kind of like a full plate just with those two books on its own, really.
I believe
crop circle tours in the summer, and people are welcome to join us. You know, just go to my website or cropcircles.org. You'll see how to sign up. We've actually added in a day of haunted places in and around Wiltshire where the crop circles are, on top of the crop circles.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is kind of really unpredictable when you're in this kind of field where you're going to end up. But, you know, the extraterrestrial aspect is always popping its head in because it's there.
Those
guys are there, and they're showing a lot recently. You know, you've seen the news. They're around. And you never know when that's really going to become big and important, some sort of disclosure, especially with the political scene the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm lecturing and talking about planetary intelligence, opening minds, continuing to do my remote viewing classes here in Boulder. I'm giving a lecture out in Seattle next weekend at the Metaphysical Library there about planetary intelligence and remote viewing. So,
Sounds like you have a full plate, Simeon.
You are keeping busy.
So
I want everybody to definitely go visit www.mountbaldy.com.
Great having you back on,
Simeon. Crop circles.org.
We didn't cover half of what we needed to talk about. I think that's a great idea.
That's
a great idea.
It was definitely too long between these two.
Yeah, we can't cram in.
Guys, don't wait 6 years next time. How about a couple months or whatever?
Let's work it out.
Do this next month if you want
to get.
We have to talk about this more specifically.
Thank you, Simeon. That's cool. We will talk to you soon. Thanks again, Simeon. We'll definitely have a phone. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Have fun.
Bye-bye. Cool guy. How cool.
That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Simeon's, I remember when he came on the show back, like I said, like 300 years ago, we just had a great time talking to him about crop circles. Learned so much about that. Yeah, we're good.
That worked.
We learned so much about crop circles from him. I was that dumb when it came to crop circles. It really was. I thought they were things created by nothing more than ships. You know, I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, how, okay, we got these things being created by ships, supposedly. And people are still saying that UFOs don't exist. What's going on here? Well, it's not always ships. I mean, there's ones they can't explain, but there are these, you know, ones that are created, like that Simeon and his people create.
Yeah.
And it powers them. There is powers about these things.
Well, and I find interesting about that is that there's a lot, I mean, going through the history of mankind, you've got people put a lot of power into symbols and symbology, and thank you.
I did that because I
stop
broke
touching
it.
The board.
I broke it before the break earlier, and I don't want to break it again. So you know, I'm just helping out. I'm helping out.
All right.
I'm not micromanaging. I'm helping out.
Relinquish control.
I am,
but I think that
this is a perfect example of what we've talked about here for the last like 45 minutes. Was just that, like. Letting go. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I mean, in our personal lives, we've got into this.
But what they do is that, you know, you put a lot of emphasis has been put in, on symbols and symbology and things like that. So you've got everything from religion to groups and organizations, the secret societies, they had all their own symbology. And
yeah.
I mean, so a lot
but don't we have our symbology, too? We have James.
We have gang signs.
Well, we have gang signs too because we're from Detroit. Yeah. But we have James.
Right.
Yes, we do.
We have Bob.
Yeah.
We have Bob. We have
Bob
James.
And James.
And those are our symbology. That's when we want people when they see that you know James the ghost screaming into the microphone. That's who we are. You know.
Right.
But it's pretty obvious. You know, we're not trying to like you know. Put like a little like I've seen like some of these documents like the period on something. If you zero into that thing like 40,000 times in a microscope, it's got a pentagram in it or something. I've seen this before. That's pretty heavy stuff,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty heavy stuff. But yeah, I mean, just these whole ideas that Simeon presented. I mean, yeah, it's more foolish. I totally forgot the whole thing now. I wanted to take that with me after the show here. I'm going to have to listen to my own archive to remember it. It's to be the fool, that's what I was talking about.
Right.
It's less foolish to be the fool.
Right.
That's what he said.
Which is actually brilliant because...
It is brilliant.
Sometimes you're just going to really, really make a fool of yourself and you know it going in, you know, because you cannot remote view accurately 100% of the time.
When it comes to remote viewing, that's brilliant because what do we keep... It ties right in with this whole... objectivity thing we talk about with remote viewing, that you cannot have any type of knowledge about this. You can't load yourself with any kind of knowledge about this. So you have to be a fool about it and be ignorant of this thing, more or less.
Right. In order to have any chance at actually achieving the target.
Achieving the target, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I always like to bring up the perfect example that is always, and I know Vance always gets mad because I bring it up, but it was when his group remote viewed the crucifixion.
Right.
I mean, what a perfect classic example that if you're a remote viewer and you've, you know, okay, impression, okay, cross, and, Jesus.
Obvious.
Jesus is here! You know, that's the first thing that pops into your head. I mean, it would be me, too, even me, but you can't do that.
Right.
You got to go, just it's a figure, it's a shape, just deal with it and keep moving on. And that's being the fool.
Right.
And that's just, that really kind of, it's blowing my mind.
It's very powerful. Very powerful.
It's very powerful. I'm tired. We got another hour of this stuff to do?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a good hour. Rosemary Ellen Guiley's coming up.
Cool, yeah. I really feel bad still about like the last segment we did before we had Simeon. I'm starting to feel bad about it now.
Why?
Don't second guess yourself. There was a reason you needed to have that.
Yes. Put it out to the universe, and you know what? Let's let it go.
Yeah, let's see what gets fired back at
me. It'll come back.
Literally.
Take it in stride.
Well, no, again, I want to mention that and just say, look, I don't want to alienate people. I don't want people to be scared to contact us. We are honored. We really are to have people contacting us and wanting to be on this show. But it's just this certain little aspect, I think, that we've noticed. That really kind of has been making me nervous and disturbing me. And I guess, yeah, I need to get it off my chest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll put some, I hope, it's going to probably upset somebody. Because that's.
Oh, what, yeah. Well, even the movie that we did upset people.
Oh, yeah.
That was Giving Up the Ghost.
Giving Up the Ghost. But no,
and American
I mean,
Ghost Watchers.
American Ghost Watchers upset people because they see themselves in these outrageous characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like, okay, if you see yourself in that outrageous character, then. Okay, this is what people are seeing you as.
Yeah,
so you know what? Change. Or or get comfortable with yourself. One of those two things.
But it's about learning, though, still, too. You know, even though I think we're all firmly convinced and we're right that a lot of those outrageous characters are what the problem may be sometimes. You know, hey, I still, that's why, I mean, when I did rant about this earlier, I said, look, am I wrong? I always want to know if I'm wrong. I could be really off base here, and I might need to have somebody straighten me out and say, look, this is the reason for this. You know, I mean, John Zappas came on here not too long ago and gave us this whole output, this outlook on the paranormal television shows out there and why there's so many. He's like, there may be a reason for this.
Right.
That it is making people aware of these things. You know, the content may not always be about the content. It may be about getting people aware of this thing and getting them thinking about this so they will go out and read a book on something or go out and do something of their own, right? And I think that's really cool. And I think that's why paranormal TV, I think it's really, really cool based on that. It may not always be about, there's some shows out there, people know, I find them horrible. but the, you know, they still are, in a lot of ways, spreading this awareness thing, whatever the content may be. So, you know, that's completely altering my viewpoint on something. It really was before, because I was kind of like, okay, look, I've had enough of this. I can't see any more of these shows. You know, the Food Channel is going to have their own show now pretty soon, right? you know? But, okay, look, it's spreading out there, and I guess this is the vision. Maybe this is what people we're out here to do, is do spread this awareness. That's what Ghostly Talk's here to do, you know, to get people thinking about these things. So, you know, whatever. That's all I can say about the whole thing. I'm totally for it. What time is it? Can we go to break? I'm dying.
No, we've got 2 more minutes.
No! Really? Okay. Well, I do have to show you how to use the board, though, still.
Well, that's true.
I do have to show you how to use the board.
Oh, though. I was just going to push buttons at random.
Just randomly push buttons. Yeah. Well, actually, Doug, what's going to happen here is you're going to push that, the audio channel. Well,
first, I want to pull this down.
Yeah, pull that guy down there.
I don't like that.
Boy, this is some crap radio.
Oh, this
radio
is great radio right
this
now.
This is some crap radio. You got to bring up the audio channel.
Fabulous.
Okay, a little bit higher.
Okay.
Okay, a little bit lower.
How does that
That's
feel?
A sweet
spot. Yeah, all right.
That was the sweet spot, Doug. Thank you, baby.
And then I just double-click this thing, and
you
then boom.
Double-click on that thing. That is a mouse.
And then this is a mouse.
This is a mouse.
Can we label it?
Yeah, you know what? I did label the board out here. Yes. I should label that. You know, here, write that. Here, just write that on
mouse.
There. Just write it on there with a marker here. Just write mouse on there.
Mouse. I'll just put an M.
Okay, put an M on there. That'll work. M.
This is how he remembers what shoe to put on what foot.
Yeah, L and R. Doug, okay, we have the M on that. We just destroyed a mouse. What
I
are
know,
we doing
well,
here? We
know,
defaced a defenseless mouse. What are we doing here?
I double-click on this, and then we're suddenly in break.
Well, you have to pull our audio channel
and then we
our
have
mic
to,
channels out,
then we
too.
Have to run into the other room.
Well, no, you got to pull the mic channels out, though, too. So you got to put your three fingers on those three mic channels.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you push the button for the M, the mouse thing over there, that mouse that we learned about, you have to hit the mouse button and then pull our channels out like immediately after that so people don't hear all the cussing we do in between, you know, our segments.
Right, and yeah, they do not need to hear
They don't
that.
Need to hear that,
no,
Phil. That's disgusting. No. I don't...
Terrible
I
stuff.
Do not want children talking.
Pull out, Doug.
Yeah.
Can we get a break now?
I think it
I'm
might
done.
Be a
I'm
good
done.
Idea.
I'm totally done. All right.
Still Ghostly Talking. We're learning the ropes. I'm driving, and it's going to be fun. And so I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
Bonnie loves this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.